Thank you, Heavenly Father. We're just so grateful that we're gathered together tonight here in the name of Jesus to learn more of our most lovely bridegroom, hopefully soon coming. God, we thank you that every heart here tonight, anyone that would hear this message, that heart would just be open to fully receive what you've prepared for us tonight. And Lord, we know it's just all you, and we're so thankful and so grateful that that's the way that you have it. We just want to be attentive to your word tonight, just to feast upon it, to enjoy the richness of it and the depth and beauty of it. God, we just thank you for everything in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I think I'm just going to go right ahead and get right into this. 1 Corinthians 13, going to start in verse 1. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Now, tonight, this third verse and that word profiteth is going to be just a launching point to dig into the Word of God and focus on things that are profitable for eternity. We're going to see some that are, as well as some things that are not. And I think it's clear from what I just read that without charity, which is agape love, any activities that we do are not profitable to us. In verse 1, without love we are become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And those a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal is not actually a good sound. Brass and cymbals can make pleasant sounds, but in this context, they are not. And in verse 2, there are quite a few alls. If you look there, all mysteries, all knowledge, all faith, that's pretty complete. But yet, without this agape love, it says, "I am nothing." And then in verse 3, there are some actions that can be good, but without love, they do not profit us. So I think it's very sweet how lately the Lord has really been impressing on us through different services the importance of preeminent love and of loving each other with that love, with this charity, with this agape love. A few Sunday evenings ago, our pastor talked about forgiveness and how we can't forgive without love, without loving. We can't move on. We can't grow in the Lord without love, without first loving. I think it's important that love is the motivating force behind anything and everything we would attempt to do. It should be, because when you think about it, this is a pattern of God. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Jesus then gave his life and sent the Holy Ghost so that we could grow up and learn all these wonderful truths, learn the depths of things that profit us for eternity. We all know this life is but a vapor, and it needs to be meaningful. It is meaningful, it should be. But eternity is, wow, I don't think these minds can really fathom what that is. But we know that's what God is looking for. Through our lives here, he's looking to build things for eternity. Now, this word charity, and again, it is agape love, but it means affection, goodwill, and benevolence. I think it's very interesting. Actually, it's a feminine noun. A lot of times if you look up things in concordance, if they're a noun, they might be in the masculine or the feminine. And I think it's sweet because it has many wife-like qualities to it when you think about that. And it actually dovetails perfectly with the main definition of this word profit, which is to be useful or advantageous. When you think of something profiting, that's what it is. It's useful. It's advantageous. And when you think about that word vessel, remember that? Contributing to the usefulness of the husband? There's profit in this. This is how we profit God, actually. And it's wonderful. Now, the word itself, actually, has profit in calling us unto the high calling, that we can grow up to the full stature of Christ. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. We're all familiar with this, I'm sure. It's good to read it right out of the word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, that's this word, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That is, it's useful and advantageous for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I think that's a readied wife right there. But it's wonderful how it's just that this word is what will grow us up, and it's profitable for all those things mentioned, that we can be complete, complete in Christ, that we'll know everything that we need to know of what the word has to tell us. Now, also in this word profit is the notion of furtherance and advancement. So you have advantageous usefulness, and then you also have furtherance, a furthering, a going on. And we know from 2 Peter 3:18 that God wants us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what is growing except the furthering? And it does, I love it, how there's always grace first. Grace and knowledge, it's one, two wonderful words there. But this is how it's profitable. And we have to lay a hold of Paul's gospel to do that, to fully profit and to grow. It's not God's will. If you think about Hebrews 6:1, not laying again the foundation of repentance unto dead works. There's no growing if that tends to start happening. Once we're saved, we're saved. And no one can pluck us out of the Father's hand, so we're saved. So then God wants us to grow on, wants us to mature and to develop, and that we go on unto perfection. And that's perfection in Christ. If we flip over to Philippians chapter 1, let's go back a little bit here. Now, some things happened to Brother Paul, and Paul was always careful to not dwell on the things that happened to him. He mentioned them a few times in the Word. Very troublesome trials befell Paul. Here in Philippians 1, starting in verse 12, Paul says, "But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." That's that profitable right there. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So as we grow in the Lord, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, we become more bold. There's a boldness of Christ in us that is not ashamed of the gospel. In fact, even God tells us to come to the throne of grace, come boldly. We don't need to slink in there and wonder if it's okay if we crawl into the throne there. He's like, come in boldly. Because he already knows, honestly, but he wants us to come in there and to obtain help in our time of need. And I'm sure, I don't think this is only for my life, but my time of need is pretty much every moment of every day. And I know I'm not alone in that. And sometimes we think we're doing okay, and we may be doing okay, but we always have need of Jesus constantly, always. We just may be more aware at some times. But we can go boldly to that throne of grace and obtain help in our time of need all the time. Now, if we go down in Philippians 1 a little bit further, down into verse 21, Paul continues on here, and he says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. I love here how a chief characteristic of eternal prophet and prophet in the Lord is unselfishness. And Paul was a prime example of that. And this passage is so, that really comes out. He was unselfishly giving of himself. He acknowledges here that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, and even if that was better. And we could all say amen to that. We're looking for his soon coming. And yes, it will be far better. But he said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He was placing them first. He said, I'd really honestly love to just be with Christ. That would be a lot better. But it's needful for you because there was a furtherance there in joy and in faith that their rejoicing would be more abundant. So praise the Lord for this just unselfishness in Paul. And you know, sometimes you think about wants versus needs. They're different. Now, the Lord already knows everything, but a lot of times we confuse. We say, Lord, I need, when really it's a want. And if you really think about it and just ask the Lord, he'll reveal, you probably already know if it's really a want or a need. But praise God when he gives us what we need, not what we want. A lot of times he may not give you something. Maybe it's a want, not a need. He will, though, always fully furnish every need. We know that from Philippians 4:19. So, continuing on in this thought of unselfish motivation, let's flip over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 12. And again, thinking about how Paul was talking about others, placing others above of his own desire just to depart and be with the Lord. This profiting, eternal profiting in the Lord is for the entire body of Christ. It says, 1 Timothy 4:12 says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. This is that thy furthering, your growth, this is all to God's glory. And it's wonderful. Now we know that God tells us we're not to take a light and hide it under a bushel. That isn't why God gives us things that we can just kind of keep it to ourselves and think it's really neat that way. It is really neat. But God wants us to share his love with people. And when you think about it, that life of Christ, I love it here. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. That is so needful to this world today. This world is in an incredible amount of pain. A lot of us could be in incredible amounts of pain, and not just physically, but all creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, and I am sure we're all aware of that. But Paul knew of the need to share, and the people that God has you in contact with that are in your life, whether it's could be casual in the grocery store, it could be your family, people you're really close to, they need to hear of this eternal prophet more and more. Now, besides the thought of advancement, furtherance, usefulness, advantageous, we'll just get more and more into some of these meanings. This prophet in the eternal has the notion of expedience, of bearing together, of collecting and contributing in order to assist or help. And I love it because it's the word symphero in the Greek, which to me reminds me of a symphony. I mean, that's very, very close. And I know we've heard and spoken of many times how this wonderful mystical body of Christ, it's like a symphony, and we're all different instruments that make different sounds, that do different things for the ministering and the edification of the body. And we have to follow that maestro, the conductor, that makes everything flow, and you play your particular note, and it may not be the same note, And it's not the same instrument, but when it's all together, it's a beautiful sound to the Lord. And that's the symphony. And I know we've all heard them, and they're beautiful. And this is our lives in Christ, in the spiritual. So this word symphero is just wonderful. Let's go to John 16:7. Flip back a little bit. And this is Jesus telling his disciples just before he departed, before he was on Calvary. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or profitable for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Think how profitable that was. Painful, yes. But Jesus knew. He knew he had to go to the Father. He knew the Holy Spirit would be sent. And it's a comforter, and it sure is a comfort. That Holy Spirit, you know, even when we don't know how to pray or what we should pray, we can just pray in the Spirit, and God knows. And that Holy Spirit is what is sent to prepare the wife. That's how you're going to know about the depths of the high calling. And I appreciate the prayer request tonight for those that aren't filled. You know, God is faithful, and he hears prayers. And do pray for those ones. I'm sure you all know some. That's a good thing to pray that way, because we want for them to grow up fully and to have this full eternal profit. Now, if we go over to back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just the chapter before where we started, this is Paul again writing. Actually, there's quite a few scriptures here in Corinthians. But 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 4, Paul is talking here about diversities of gifts, differences of administrations, diversities of operations. But he also is careful to note that there's the same Spirit, the same God, and the same Lord. And that is the Trinity right there, all of them. And then he concludes in 1 Corinthians 12:7, if you just jump down a few verses, he says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." That's pretty clear why the Holy Spirit was given. And again, this goes back to that beautiful symphony that's this body of Christ. And again, each member has a part, but you've got to be in tune, mostly in tune with the first trump. That's the best thing to be in tune with, for that voice of the archangel, that trump of God, and wonderful when we'll be caught away to meet Jesus in the air. What a glorious day. That will never end. It's the forever day. I love it. All right, let's go back to Hebrews. A couple of good things here. Hebrews chapter 12. And we've been over this one a few times. In 12:10, this is talking about how God our Father loves us and how chastening is profitable. Who would have thought? 12:10, "For they," and this is referring to earthly parents, "verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he," meaning God, "for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." That's a good thing, partakers of his holiness. If that takes some chastening to get there, then praise the Lord. That's where we want to be. Now it says, "Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Now, we know that God deals with us as sons because we know this doctrine, and it's sound doctrine. And we are growing up. We're letting Christ be formed in us and being conformed to his very image. And praise the Lord that our Heavenly Father, just, he loves us too much to let us stay where we are. He's always going to be encouraging us to grow, right? His ultimate desire is for us to become those fully mature sons, the readied wife for Jesus. That's what a fully mature one is. Chastening is not joyous for the moment. You think about it when you were growing up, and some of us might have got a spanking or two, or 10, or 50, I don't know. I lost count after a while. My mom would always say, "This hurts me more than you," and I was thinking, I seriously doubt that. Kind of get it more now. I mean, I'm sure it hurt in the sense that she wished she didn't need to correct me, but she did. Or my dad. either one, sometimes both of them. So, but the thing is, there's a beautiful, fruitful yield if we allow that exercising. And speaking of exercising, I cannot forget this one, 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. I think that's my favorite verse in the Word of God. Just kidding. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, it doesn't say bodily exercise profits nothing. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit, these bodies that we have here, and we are to take care of them. We're to put good food in them. Yes, we are to stretch them and exercise them. It's all good, but we have godliness is profitable unto all things. And I love it because there's this promise here of the life that now is, right now, the life of Christ that lives in you and of that which is to come. So again, God's always after this eternal profit here. He will direct our steps and show us how to profit. That's what he does, and it's all in this word. So praise the Lord for that. Now, I mentioned here at the beginning, talking about things that are profitable in the Word of God, there are some things mentioned that are not. And I'm, you know, definitely not going through an exhaustive list this evening by any means. I would encourage you, if the Lord would put it on your heart, you know, look up profit and profitable. There's a lot in here. But let's go to the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 44. And verse 9, Isaiah 44, 9. And it's very interesting. Most of the occurrences of prophet or profitable in the Old Testament have a lot to do with kind of the summation here of 44, 9. It says, they that make a graven image are all of them vanity. And their delectable things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they may be ashamed. Now, we know we're not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and I don't think we are. We're bold in him, again, in the power of his might. But this has a lot to do with idols. And we know an idol is anything that's a distraction from tending upon the Lord, something that takes us away. Idols can show up in all different kinds of ways. You can even be your own, in a sense. Get so caught up in yourself and all your stuff. But this is a lot of where this not profitable type of thing occurs in the Old Testament. And you know, it's just interesting, even as the Lord was kind of putting this little study together here in the last few days, I've been reading quite a bit about Solomon. And two things stick out to me about him. He was endowed by God with exceeding great wealth and wisdom. He's probably never a wealthier man on the planet, or one endued with more wisdom, actually. Very amazing. Yet, in Ecclesiastes 2:11, he looked back on his life and said, "Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun." How sad, in a sense. And I know Solomon, gosh, I mean, he wrote the Song of Solomon. He wrote 1,005 songs. Wonderful. But the thing with this, and I'm thankful, he was honest in saying, "I looked on all the works that my hands had done and the labor that I did." And he mentions under the sun, which is earthly. These are earthly things. There's no profit in all that. It's all only God. It's only what God will do, what he'll build in your life. And I'm, again, just thankful Solomon was honest, but wow, it's like a life of regret, and we don't want to do that. It's important to focus on this eternal profiting and be careful to not let things slip. When we're given a lot, a lot's required. There are a lot of people that have a pretty good amount of wealth on this earth. I'm thankful when they're good stewards, when they take care of this stuff, because it's all given by God, and it's good to know that. So let's just be cautious. Now, continuing on with things not profitable, let's go back over to 1 Corinthians again, chapter 10 this time, 1 Corinthians 10. and verse 23. This is a very interesting passage here. Paul writes, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." That's that profitable. "All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." The word lawful means allowed or permitted. And when you really think about it, you're allowed and permitted anything. God doesn't force you to do things. He would really love for you to make wise decisions, not foolish ones. We're going to make some foolish ones, but everything is allowed or permitted. That's why Paul said all things are lawful or permissible for me, but they're not all expedient. They're not all profitable, and we know that is for sure, nor do they edify. The Apostle John wrote down the very words of Jesus concerning profit and the flesh. John 6:63, Jesus speaking says, "It's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." You know, you could put a period there if you wanted to, because that's kind of the end of it. The flesh profiteth nothing. But there's a colon there, and then it says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And I'm glad that's in there, but you see, that shows us this is right here is the prophet. Profiting eternally. It's in the word. It's what Jesus said. It's what's written down here of him for us. And they are our life. Hebrews 4:2. Let's flip over there. And again, I'm by no means exhausting this, but this is some good and edifying stuff. Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." We know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And I love it because true hearing is not passive, it's active. You know the difference when you're actively listening to somebody and when you're kind of sort of listening, kind of letting it go? Praise the Lord, God does not ever do that with us. He's not ever a passive listener to us. He is a very active listener. That's why we pray. That's why we lift up things to him. That's why David so often cried out to the Lord, you know, "Hear my supplications." And he had faith that God did. I know that he did. And we know that God did. And that's how the word works effectually in those who believe. Because we know and we believe that God hears us and that he acts on prayers. So we can thank him for that. Let's go back a little further in Hebrews to chapter 13 and verse 9. Says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace." And that is surely the establishment of all things right there is grace. It says, "Not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein." Now this is referring to physical food. I looked it up, and it just is physical food. And of course we need that to survive. These bodies need nourishment in the natural, but the distinction here is it wasn't profitable. It didn't profit them that have been occupied therein. That is, they were fixated on kind of physical stuff instead of the spiritual. We know that Jesus is the bread of life. He gives us living water from the deep well of his love to drink. We have complete spiritual nourishment in this word in every way we could possibly imagine. And when you think about it, the main thing is, and what this here in Hebrews is saying, is you focus on Jesus. Focus on the things that, again, are of eternal profit, that are going to not be temporal. We need to do some temporal things, sure. But it's kind of like, what are you being occupied in? Where's most of your thoughts and most of your hopes, basically? Now, in wrapping this up, this is very precious. Turn back to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And this is very precious. I think it's one of my favorites here. Acts 20, verses 20 and 21. Paul says, and again, this is just the unselfishness of Paul, that Christ-like nature that was in him, says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is wonderful because, you know, God doesn't keep anything from us. Paul was a chosen vessel, and Paul certainly, what Paul was when he was Saul wouldn't have been something anybody would have picked, probably. In fact, not probably, definitely. This is how God does this, and it's wonderful. But Paul kept back nothing that was profitable. He said, I showed you, I taught you publicly from house to house. So big meetings, small meetings, it didn't matter. Paul was teaching, always, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks. And I love it here, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think about it, faith is forward-looking. And full forward faith and believing will lead right into the midst of the throne. That's just what it does. I love it how when you think about a windshield in a car, and it's always amazing to me, a windshield is pretty big in comparison to the rearview mirror. If you just think about that. Now, I'm not advocating people rip off the rearview mirrors and get into accidents, but when you look in that rearview mirror, you're also going to see a part of yourself in there. It's a mirror, literally, but it's small. It's looking back. We're always encouraged, don't get there too much. Look at that big windshield, it's just clear. It's just forward, it's forward looking. And that's like faith. And that is how we start seeing what God's full desire is for us, his most loving desire to rule with his son, jointly, as the wife of Christ, the wife, the bride of the Lamb. So thinking about this, going back to where we started in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and thinking about this love, and the eternal profit of it. And again, this love has to be a chief motivator because it's God. It's what God did. It's what his son did. And then the Holy Spirit, his job is to take the love of God, all the things of Christ, shed them abroad in our heart. And isn't it wonderful how personal that is? How personal God is with us through the Holy Spirit. Just taking things, showing us things, opening up this word. You know, I think one of the really, probably, really, really sweet times that I had with Mark was we both got filled on the same night with the Spirit, and we went home and started reading, and it's like we'd read it, but we'd never read it, and it was all spiritual. You read about Jesus talking about bread and about food and about different things, and we're like, no, that's spiritual. Praise the Lord. But see, that's what happens. All of a sudden, your eyes are just, wow, just opened up to all of this wonderful depth and truth and love. So in this day, and as the finishing touches are being worked in the lives of those who are looking for and loving the appearing of Christ for his bride, the main thing is to let love reign supreme in our lives. That's how we'll be eternally profitable to God the Father, and to Jesus, our soon-coming bridegroom, and to all of each other. That's how the symphony works. It's just love. It's agape love. And sharing it with each other for the eternal profit, for God the Father, and for his Son through the Holy Ghost. So that's about it. It's what the Lord had for us tonight, and I'm thankful to him. Praying we tend upon him without distraction. If we want to stand, we'll have a prayer of dismissing. And